Money Radio. Thanks so much for joining us and joining us now. Pleasure to welcome Jean Bliss. She is the Chief Customer Officer. She is the that's one of the earlier books. She's also the author of a new book. Would you do that to your mother? The Make Mom Proud Standard for How to Treat Your Customers. Would You Do That to Your Mother by Jean Bliss. Jean, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. Yes, it's an interesting question, right?
Oh, it's an intriguing question. And I first looked at it and went, okay, what's behind that?
Right.
And then I thought about it, and just you think about it just a little bit, and you think about the customer experiences that you've had or that you've delivered to someone, and then you say, would you do that to your mother? No, you wouldn't do that to your mother.
Well, that's right. And I wanted to also turn the book into a reflection of your own life as a customer.
Well, we've all been there, haven't we?
That's right. But it's kind of like we need to remember there's people and human beings at the end of our decision. And so that mom, your mom's face, or someone who's been like a mom for you, that's a powerful metaphor to make you pause.
It really is. And I did that. I paused and thought just a moment, what would my mother do if I treated her that way? Well, she would have had a word or two for me. Maybe even pulled out a bar of soap, right?
Yep. Well, that's why the second chapter is called Don't Make Me Feed You Soap, right? Tried to make it momisms, but also those quips, I call them, throughout the book to kind of jar you back to the reality of our life as customers. You know, would you make your mom, give your mom a four-hour window in which you might or might not show up to visit her?
No. I'm going to tell my mother, you know, when I would be there, and I would show up there, and if I wasn't there, she'd let me know you
mm-hmm.
were late.
Mm-hmm.
And then you think, well, I wouldn't treat my mother that way. I don't want to be treated that way.
Exactly. We have to personalize the work. And what's happened, there's goodness in customer experience as a discipline being really considered important and a priority, but like anything, it starts to become a set of technical tools that move us in a weird way away from the actual point of the work, which is to improve customers' lives.
I think that's forgotten so frequently. And again, this is something we all encounter, whether it's waiting for the cable guy to show up for an installation or a repair, whether it's going to a hotel and there's a box of crackers in the mini bar that they charge $8 for. It's like,
that's
what?
Right.
On and on again, this goes on. And it seems as if companies get away with it because they can.
Well, and here's the thing. I tried very hard to give the mom benefit of the doubt throughout the book. And a lot of those things, which are in the last chapter I call Take the High Road, businesses that are struggling with their top-line growth sometimes find a way to add surcharges or fees or additional, you know, levels of pricing because they're not making their growth from delivering value and adding, you know, organic customer growth. And that kind of spreadsheet number that whoever comes up with it becomes addictive. You know, let's charge an extra $3 for anybody who wants to have their sheets changed in a hotel instead of doing it, or, you know, whatever it might be.
Mm-hmm.
And you actually lose the value equation for customers over time. And more important, you become so addicted to that revenue stream that you really lose your way on how you truly will grow your business. So it becomes a short-term gain, but a long-term loss because people walk away from you because of those practices.
Sure, it's true. And we all feel as if we're being nickeled and dimed to death.
That's right. In fact, Raoul Leal, who is the CEO of Virgin Hotels, which started the practice of, they call it street pricing, for what they do in terms of the minibar pricing. They don't charge you $5 for a Snickers bar if it's $1.50 at the corner market or whatever it is. His point, and it's said in all their paperwork on their website, et cetera, we don't ever want our customers to feel like we have them right? Charge what's fair, not what you can.
Wow. We see this all the time in so many different areas. The airlines charging mm-hmm. for an extra bag or just a bag.
That's right, a pillow. And I think it goes beyond charging. You know, that's one of the easy examples. But there's other things as well that show up to not only your customers but your employees. The first chapter of the book is called Be the Person I Raised You to Be. We hire people. But then we inadvertently, again, you know, I think no company sets out to do this, but over time, silos and rules seep in. But we turn our people into policy cops. We don't give them the time to really make thoughtful decisions. We don't give them the opportunity to be memory makers. And as a result, also, people's spirits are diminished. That's why often there's so much turnover. And there's great examples in the book. For example, a fast food hot dog and hamburger place called Pal's Sudden Service has one of the lowest turnover rates, even though a lot of them are teenagers, because they're very deliberate about how they hire and then how they mentor these people. They hire the human behind the resume, and that's a secret sauce of these companies, but they have to be deliberate about it. They use a 60-point psychometric survey to find out about your characteristics, your behaviors. They ask questions like, in general, I'm happy with myself. I believe I trust people who I just meet. I think raising my voice is a good way to get attention. You know, so you start to know the human. And, you know, the best companies are learning ways to hire good people and then trust them. Trust them to act.
As I recall in that example, that case study that you presented on Pal's, the mm-hmm. fast food restaurant, they also did very extensive training for a fast food restaurant.
That's right. All of the leaders have to spend a good percentage of their time every month mentoring, because they realize that when you get these folks at this young age, you have an opportunity and a responsibility. And so, for example, it shows they've lost, I think it's at 6 or 7 general managers in almost 33 years. People stay where they're honored, and, you know, you're not just a fast food restaurant worker. You're delivering a memory at that window. When you elevate people's purpose, they rise to the occasion.
So many times we encounter situations where somebody says, well, that's policy.
Mm-hmm.
That's not much of an experience for you or me, and I never said to my mother, Ma, that's policy.
That's right. In fact, there's another example in that same chapter, Vail Resorts, one of the most expensive ski resort companies in the world, but also one of the most honored and beloved. They've actually gotten rid of the words, our policy is, from their employees. They can't say those words. And there's a bunch of other phrases like, it's not my job, next, I don't know. You know, it's an approach where they instead elevate their people to say, your job is to deliver the experience of a lifetime.
So how do we get the employees to the point where they really get the whole idea? Because it's not just the employees on the front line. This has to start in the C-suite as well.
That's exactly right. You know, you can't, if you say to your employee, do the right thing, but then you limit them on how much time they have to do the right thing, on the rules where they can't use their brain to determine for that circumstance what the right thing is, or you call them out for costing more money for doing the right thing in that moment, then those are just words. And so, to your point, leadership has to shift and change what they enable people to do. You know, for example, one of the case studies in Don't Make Me Feed You Soap, which is about making it hard to do business, is about what I call the You Know Me experience. By 2020, it's been estimated that none of us are going to have any tolerance for companies who don't have a very concrete history or memory of who we are as their customer, who we last talked to, what we purchased, because now we have to keep telling our story to 5 or 10 people, right?
Hmm.
But we make that hard for the front line because in every company I work with, they have to toggle between 6 different screens or 5 different databases. So they can't possibly know who you are because the company also hasn't made it easy for them to know who you are. Or they're given such talk times or limits that there's no chance or opportunity to get to know who you are.
You bring up another point there that you also brought up in the book, which is that we have all this technology now. And the technology may be great, but it can be real easy to get lost in the technology and forget about the customer that we're actually trying to serve.
Well, that's right. And two things are at work here. One is the technology. And what happens is we're all excited about AI and the technology and mobile. And the pendulum swings, as you know. New things come into the marketplace. But those things can't be the only part of the customer experience equation. The best companies, the way I'm trying to profile, and especially in this mom book, is that these companies blend high tech with high touch. You know, so for example, yes, in many cases, many cable companies even are ponying up and giving you a mobile app so that you know when the cable guy is going to show up, at least in a much better sense than you used to. But it's the man and if he or woman and if they put booties on and how they say hello to you and how they honor your furniture and your home that shows, you know, I say the kind of mother they've got or how they've been honored so they can honor the company, the customer as well. So you've got to also, that's why hiring becomes the most important thing. There's a great story in there, Danny Meyer, who is a legendary service guy. He's built the Union Square Hospitality Group, a restaurateur that people revere. And he says there's two main reasons why my people would wear Apple Watches. One is for the sommelier to know when they need to go refill a glass of wine. And another is for the valets to know when a customer is ready, done with their meal so their car can be pulled around. So it's not high tech for high tech's purpose, but for it to blend with high touch.
You also gave the example of, I believe it was Lemonade Insurance.
Yes.
And they've actually gone over, talk about an app, they have an AI app that basically handles the claims for people.
That's right. So Lemonade is a new entrant, and that's the other thing I wanted to do in the book was show that are disrupting, but in interesting ways. So I love what they've done. It's not just the app, but it's their whole business model. So this is insurance. Now, what happens in their model is whatever they're going to insure for you, whether it's furniture or your car or whatever, instead of charging you kind of an unclear rate, it's a percentage of your belongings. Then when you go through your process of getting insured by them, they ask you to pick out a charity of your choice. So they're connecting two things here, community, conscience, and accountability to each other. That's three things, sorry. So when you go to make your claim, and many of these they fulfill in 5 to 10 minutes, by the way, you look into AI bot Jim. They've humanized the bot. But they require you to do a very mom-like thing, which is to look into the bot and do an honesty pledge, which is I promise the claim I'm about to put in is fair and true and honest because I know that we are a community. And the great thing that they do that connects it all is at the end of the year, after all the claims have been paid out, especially when everyone's being fair and good, what's left over goes to people's charities.
This is such a mom thing. Look me in the eyes and tell
right?
me the truth.
Don't you love that? There are some of these case studies that when I found them, I just did a little jig.
Yeah.
Dancing around finding these case studies.
This is truly a fun book to read. A lot of business books can be dry. This one is fun. And
thank you.
Very relatable, but packed full of case studies, solid research. And it'll make you think quite a bit, whether you are delivering the customer care or you are the customer. Both ways. It's called Would You Do That to Your Mother? By Jean Bliss. We will continue that conversation in just a moment. thank you so much for joining us today. Our guest, Jean Bliss, and she's written a delightful new book, Would You Do That to Your Mother? The Make Mom Proud Standard for How to Treat Your Customers by Jean Bliss. And you've got a website, customerbliss.com.
And as we also have built the launch site for the book, we have a website called makemomproud.com, but there's hyphens between the word make hyphen mom hyphen proud.com. And on there, if you go there, we can give you the link as well. What you'll see on the first page is the pictures of a bunch of people's moms that they've uploaded and how she inspires them and what they do in business that would make her proud.
Also, hashtag make mom proud, where you can tell a story, download a picture, whatever.
That's right.
And you can find out more about the book at customerbliss.com.
Correct. Thank you.
One of the things that kind of caught my attention as I was reading through, and it almost made me tear up. It was the story of PepsiCo.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. Did you love that?
Yeah.
Another story where I did a jig when I found it.
Yeah. Share that with us just briefly, if you would.
Sure. Of course. This is the first story in the chapter called Be the Person I Raised You to Be, because the Make Mom Proud companies find people whose values are congruent with what they want the company to show up as, and then they enable them to bring that version of themselves to work. So Indra Nooyi, when she was named the CEO of PepsiCo, she went back to India to visit her mom, and her mom, of course, was happy to see her and had invited a lot of people in and asked Indra to dress nicely and sit on the couch, and of course she did. And people came in and said hello to Indra, but then they also, most importantly, went to her mom and congratulated her mom on raising a child who would become CEO. Now, Indra Nooyi, and she's talked about this, you should find some of her videos where she speaks about it. It's just so charming. But what she says as she's reflecting on this parade of people congratulating her mother was, you know, this makes sense because it's her mother and late father's values that really were such a big part of what made her become the person that she became. And so she decided, you know, I need to do this for my top leaders. And so she now started a practice she continues today, which is she writes letters to the moms and dads of her top leaders saying, thank you for the gift of your child to PepsiCo.
Wow.
And these are some of the most special things in these people's lives, right? Could you imagine getting that kind of a letter?
Yeah. Yeah. That's just fantastic. That shows that somebody actually does care.
Well, and that it's about the human, and that, you know, companies are made up of people, and it's the great companies, I call them the Make Mom Proud companies, that enable people to live what I call congruence of heart, what you want to do, and habit, what you sometimes are required to do. And it's when these things sync up and are congruent that you have prosperity of the human spirit, that you have the most motivated people, that you have innovation that comes because people are enabled to start with the customer life and rebuild what they do from that point of view.
And guess what? All of this all does add to the bottom line.
It totally does. In the book, there are 32 case studies, which are actually complete toolkits for doing a change inside of your business. Each of the case studies starts with a comic. I hired a cartoonist so that you can, in that case study, immediately relate to it as a customer and understand the situation. Then there's a case study so you have a company to emulate, a mom lens to reflect on how you are performing against that, and inclusive in each of the case studies is the impact of that company.
And it all flows together, and it all makes for just a delightful read. There's a lot of humor. There's some great research in there as well. It's called Would You Do That to Your Mother? By Jean Bliss. And you can find out more at customerbliss.com. Would You Do That to Your Mother? Jean Bliss, well done. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be with you. And happy Mother's Day.